readings today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit who indwells in us, helping us to be so watchful, keeping our oil full enough until the appointed time. You will raise us up to where you are. Amen. In our lives, there are phases where at a specific time, we are at a certain stage. Take, for instance, when we are in the stage that we are in our mother's womb. This is where we are being knitted by the Lord and told to stay there for 9 months until our full development, or we have progressed to a stage where it would be considered viable for us to be outside of our mother's womb. Can someone stop you from coming out if the Lord tells you, now it's time for you to come out, little baby, and meet your parents who are eagerly waiting for you? Nobody can stop you from coming out into this world, not even your parents. Not even your mother has the control to let you remain in her body until she wants to. So begins our aging process. We cannot stop and remain as a baby or stay as a child, because we are in God's timeline. God says we have to grow as time passes by. Although God is outside of time, His plan for humanity involves time from before the foundation of the world. In chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, Jesus said that He is coming soon. And His reward to repay according to everyone's work is with Him, for He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. A baby's birth and the second coming of Jesus are two parallel events, in the sense that both are certain and expected occurrences that cannot be thwarted or prevented. From the baby's conception, there is a natural progression that leads to their birth. It is a process that unfolds according to the design and timing set by God, our Creator. Similarly, the second coming of Jesus is an event that is promised and predetermined by God's plan. It is a future event that will accordingly be revealed in God's divine timing, purposes, and sovereign will. Also, both the birth of a baby and the second coming of Jesus will create an important change and happiness. The birth of a baby marks the beginning of a new life, bringing joy and hope and the potential for growth and development. Likewise, the second coming of Jesus represents the culmination of God's redemptive plan, bringing about the ultimate fulfillment of His promises. It will direct us into a new era of righteousness, renewal, and eternal life for those who believe and submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Many people now are they are called good. They are very nice person. But do they submit to the Lordship of Jesus? In our reading, particularly in verse 14 through 18, and I read, "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord will himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." As we can understand, this is an event that very soon the Lord will himself said, "No one knows except the Father." Paul, together with Silas and Timothy, declares the word of the Lord that in this event, we who are still living during the time of Jesus' coming will by no means come first to those who have died. Paul continued that in this event, when there is a cry of command, other translation says, with a shout, like a commander giving orders to his troops, and with the archangel's call, or the voice of the archangels, which is intended to call attention, and with the sound of God's trumpet. Paul wrote regarding the sounding of the last trumpet and in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, at which the dead will be raised imperishable and we will be changed. Jesus will descend from heaven and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are still living will be caught up in the clouds together with the resurrected dead in Christ to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever. Be encouraged by these words, for our citizenship is in heaven. Because many of the Thessalonians wondered what would happen to their fellow believers who have died when Christ returned, Paul explained to let them understand that the end of the story is not death, but the great hope for all believers after death is in the resurrection. Because Jesus came back to life, so with all the believers, including those who have already been dead or gone asleep. Therefore, we need not despair when loved ones die or face a tragic turn of life events. God turns tragedies into triumphs, poverty to riches, pain to glory, in defeat to victory, as Paul comforted the Thessalonians with the promise of the resurrection. We should comfort and reassure each other with this great hope. when Christ returns, all believers, dead and alive, will be reunited with the Lord, never to suffer the second death. In the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, Jesus likened the kingdom of heaven to a wedding banquet where 10 bridesmaids took their lamp to go and meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were considered foolish as they didn't bring with them extra oil, while the other 5 were wise because they have brought extra oil with them. Whilst they waited, they fell asleep as the arrival of the bridegroom was delayed. But when the announcement of the bridegroom's arrival happened, the wise with the extra oil were able to light their lamps. However, the foolish bridesmaids had run out of oil, and they had to go and buy more so they could light their lamp. When the bridegroom finally arrives, the wise bridesmaids, whose lamps are still burning, go in with them. Go in with the bridegroom to the wedding banquet, while the foolish ones, whose lamps have gone out, are still outside. By the time they returned from buying, the door was shut. They were unable to enter and missed the celebration. They attempt to join the feast, saying, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." They said, only to receive a response from the bridegroom, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you." This story reminds us that every person is responsible for their own spiritual condition. Faith is nourished and cannot be given to someone, nor inherited by children from any of their parents. This reminds us of the concept of readiness like a soldier on a guard post, keeping himself on the alert at all times, for his commander can come any moment and find him asleep or unprepared to perform his duties. Take note that in times of war, a soldier found sleeping on duty or maybe has abandoned his post is punishable by death. All 10 bridesmaids depict the kind of believers we have in our church today. The writer of the proverb says, "The wise listen and add to their learning, while the foolish despise wisdom and instruction. The wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish invite ruins. The wise detach themselves from the world, but the foolish lift his heart from the world. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. The wise fear the Lord and shun evil, but a fool is hot-headed and yet feels secure." Here the wise are described as those who fear the Lord, avoid evil, and exercise self-control, while the fools are characterized by their impulsive and reckless behavior. Despite their false perception of self-security. Now let us ask these questions to ourselves. Which bridesmaids am I. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much for your words. Help us to identify areas of our life that may hinder us from being with you where you are. See if there are any wicked ways in us, and lead us in the way everlasting. Amen.